We're going to follow up next on a radical new remedy for gridlock. Officials in London began charging motorists £5 per day to enter the city's central business district. That was a couple of years ago. Now it's continued, and at today's exchange rate, that's nearly $10. Some predicted these so-called congestion charges would lead to chaos, but as NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports, things have actually worked out pretty well.
Before the charges took effect, London commuters were at wit's end. Traffic crawled through central London at an average speed of 8.5 miles per hour, slower than any time since the car replaced the horse and carriage. Arteries like Victoria Street, which links Westminster Abbey and Buckingham Palace, were often clogged.
This road was more or less full of traffic.
It's not like that now. Graham Goodwin, chief spokesman for London's Office of Surface Transport, watches as roly-poly black cabs and red double-decker buses race along Victoria Street through the gathering dusk.
You know, we're now really at the height of the rush hour, and as you can see, it's whilst the car's around, it's certainly not gridlock or anything close to it. Now what you've got is traffic moving freely. When the traffic lights change, people can get from one junction to the other in one fell swoop, and that's the real major difference.
Since 2003, Goodwin says, traffic has thinned by 15% and moves an average of 37% faster. There are fewer delays and accidents, and he says the system is functioning smoothly and automatically. Here's how it works. The 8-square-mile zone is clearly marked, and city officials know who drives into it.
Because we've got pictures of you at every entrance and exit to the zone, and at dozens of points inside the zone, we have camera sites.
Computers cross-check photos of cars and license plates against lists of who's paid. Anyone who doesn't gets fined. But most do pay at retail stores, over the phone or internet. The bulk of the money goes to beef up public transport. The city's installed little solar-powered kiosks to dispense bus tickets so passengers can hop right on. And it's added hundreds of extra buses on dozens of routes, so buses like this one come every 4 minutes or so. Now that buses are more reliable, ridership has soared. Not everyone's thrilled with the new regime. The most vocal opposition has come from a consortium of shopkeepers and restaurant owners who say it's costing them money.
We don't like it. We're all angry about it.
Mahir Bendwiz and his assistant manager Alan Fry stand amid racks of elegant suits, looking dapper and attentive. They've worked in this haberdashery called Herbie Frog for 35 years. It's a block from Piccadilly Circus in the heart of the zone.
Quite a few customers who normally drive into town now don't drive into town. A lot of them, I suppose, would go then to some of these shopping centres outside London.
But overall, retail traffic has increased faster inside the zone than elsewhere in London. And one survey of 500 companies found that most now support the charges. Bill Eggers, a transportation policy expert at Deloitte Research, says London's success will spawn others.
It's having a huge impact internationally.
70% of the city officials Deloitte surveyed throughout Europe expect congestion pricing to come to their own cities eventually. Most named the environment as their top concern, but Eggers says congestion also chokes commerce.
When you look at Western industrialized countries in general, it's costing about 3% of gross domestic product. And we see in some countries in Asia where congestion is even worse, it's even higher, closer to 5% of GDP.
Economists say fees can benefit society by keeping scarce resources like road space from getting used up. But World Bank transportation policy manager Richard Schofield says there's one problem with the theory.
Road pricing has been proposed in many cities by transport professionals, and in almost every case has failed the political test.
In Hong Kong, for instance, politicians bowed to motorists worried about privacy. Hong Kong's scheme would have electronically monitored cars.
The men, who very often owned the small number of cars in Hong Kong, did not want their wives knowing where they were going in the evening.
Elsewhere, drivers have balked at the cost and inconvenience. And there are practical constraints as well. In the U.S., where many commuters drive between suburbs and congestion is more spread out, London's model wouldn't necessarily work. But Deloitte's Bill Eggers says London did prove one thing.
It said to mayors and politicians that you can actually introduce a scheme like this and that it wasn't the equivalent of political death.
London Mayor Ken Livingstone, who championed the charges, got re-elected last June. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.